With the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty "Hi-yo, Silver!" The Lone Ranger. Before this exciting adventure, a word from our sponsor, General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the ready-to-eat oat cereal that gives you go power, and Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, present by special recording, The Lone Ranger.
Diving Doris is 13, and she is a diving queen. She can do a flip because she knows she's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, she's got go power.
There she goes.
She's feeling her Cheerios, Cheerios, Cheerios.
That's a mighty good idea for you. Just make sure you eat a big bowl of Cheerios and milk every breakfast, and you'll get go power, too. Because a Cheerios breakfast is loaded with proteins, vitamins, and minerals. The very things that help build healthy bodies, strong bones, good red blood, and muscles. Why, they'd be the sort of breakfast you'd go for even if they didn't taste so good. And they do taste delicious. Cheerios are a real oat cereal, already cooked with that delicious toasted oat flavor. So that's for you. Swell-tasting Cheerios and milk for go power. Eat them every morning and you'll hear...
She's feeling her Cheerios.
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Are you Silver? Hooray!
Joe Gregg, the publisher of the Pine Flats newspaper, had a financial windfall when three men came into town as representatives of the Rocky Mountain Refining Company. Then Joe's wife, Martha, who helped with the newspaper from time to time, came into the publisher's little private office.
Joe, here's this week's ad for the Rocky Mountain Company.
Yeah, look it over, Martha.
I want to speak to you about those three men, Joe. Are you sure they're on the level?
Mr. Harmon and the Sloan brothers? I sure hope so. Their money's been mighty good.
They've sold a lot of stock in their refining company on the strength of their advertising in your paper.
Martha, what's the trouble? Do you have anything against these men?
Nothing you can put your finger on, Joe. Maybe it's just woman's intuition. But I don't like Gene Sloan at all, and I said so when he first came to town. I want you to do some checking, Joe. Investigate the deal right down to the bottom. Check up on what those men did before they came here. And check up real careful, Joe.
Mainly to satisfy his wife, Joe Gregg started an investigation. Much to his surprise, Joe learned that he had been entirely wrong in accepting Harmon and the Sloan brothers at face value. He was angry at the way he had been duped, and wrote a feature editorial, which he gave to Bear Trap Shorty to set up in type. Presently, the door opened, and Gene Sloan, wearing clothing of the latest fashion, stepped into the dirty printing office.
Oh, hello, Mr. Sloan.
How do you do, Shorty? Have you realized your life's ambition yet?
What?
I say, have you managed to catch a bear?
No, but I'll get one. You wait and see.
Where is everyone?
The missus is at home. She'll be in later. The boss in his office. He's waiting for you. He figured your partners would be coming with you.
My partners have important matters to occupy their time. I hope you catch your bear.
Thank you.
Yeah, come on in, Sloan.
Yes, your note was delivered to us at the hotel, Joe.
I want to talk to the three of you.
Talk to me, I'll convey anything you say to my brother and Mr. Harmon.
Sloan, you three have sold a lot of stock and collected a lot of money during the last few weeks here in Pine Flats.
And every man who has invested in the Rocky Mountain Refining Company will benefit beyond his wildest expectations. A stamping mill here in Pine Flats would be a great boon. Instead of panning gold for a meager existence, men will be able to dig crude ore, have it refined with no shipping cost.
That's enough. I know your speech as well as you do. Also, I know that talk is hogwash.
What?
You have no intention of building a stamping mill.
Oh, that's a lie. We've already taken an option on land.
Only to make your story look good. You took an option on land in Three Rivers, likewise in Red Rock.
But I am.
Don't deny you've been to those towns. You three used different names, but your swindle was the same. You advertise, sell all the stock you can unload, collect a lot of cash, then you skip.
Why?
But you're not going to rob the people in Pine Flats. Here, read this.
Hmm?
It's a story I'm running about you in this week's paper. Tells all I've learned about you and your pals.
Wait. Well, you can't publish this. You don't dare.
You'll see whether I dare or not. I should call on the law from the county seat. But instead, I'm giving you a chance to make restitution. You have about 5 hours before the paper's distributed. That'll give you time to return all the cash you've taken from people in Pine Flats and get out of town.
Martha was at the office. She and her husband, with Shorty's help, were about to start the printing press when the door opened without warning. Harmon walked in, followed by the Sloan brothers.
So all three of you have come.
Close the door, Gene.
Well, I hope you three have started refunding money. Your time's running out.
We came to arrange for an extension of time. This may help.
A gun.
Stand right where you are, Mrs. Gregg.
Put that gun away.
Still Gregg. Shorty, you stand over there next to Mrs. Gregg. Dean, Tom, you cover those two.
Yeah, right. What are you going to do?
You've created a difficult situation, Gregg. It calls for violence.
He slugged the boss.
Hand Silver there.
You killed him.
He's not dead, Marty. I merely knocked him unconscious with my gun barrel so it'd be easier to handle. You see, we're going to take him for a little ride in our wagon.
A ride?
We'll take him away from Pine Flats so he'll not be able to interfere with the publication of the newspaper. As we want it published.
Harmon and his companions had already brought the wagon from the livery stable and left it waiting behind the newspaper office. Joe was tied, gagged, placed on the floor of the wagon, and covered with a blanket, while his wife and Shorty were held powerless by Harmon's threatening pistol. It was nearly 2 weeks after Joe had been taken prisoner when the Lone Ranger and Tonto camped in the vicinity of Pine Flats. For a long time, the two had been trying to run down three swindlers who had left a trail of bitterness in towns that they had visited. Tonto went into Pine Flats alone in search of information. When he rejoined the masked man, it was late afternoon.
When you ride into camp like that, Tonto, I know you have something to tell me.
Here, newspaper from Pine Flats.
Oh?
It tell about three men who make refining company. And it tell about stock for sale.
Did you see the three men?
Me see only one. Him in newspaper office. And him look like fella... one of the men we try find.
Oh, what's his name?
Harmon.
According to this paper, his companions are called Gene and Tom Sloan.
Well, them not in town. Them go on trip with boss of paper.
Yeah, those three use different names in every town. Makes it hard to trace them.
Them rob many people.
They must be exposed, Tonto, and put out of business. Crooks like that make it doubly hard for honest businessmen to try to raise cash.
Maybe good idea we capture Harmon. Make him talk.
First, I want to talk to someone else. This paper is published by Joe Gregg. Some time ago, he ran an article about, well, about me.
Me remember. Paper say good things about Lone Ranger.
In view of that, Tonto, I'm sure I can persuade Joe's wife to talk to me. I'll call on her this evening.
Martha sat alone in her small home. Resentment and sleepless nights of worry had brought new lines of anxiety and fatigue to her face. She rose listlessly when a soft rap sounded on the door.
I'm coming.
Please don't be alarmed because of this mask.
But who...
I must talk to you about your husband.
But who are you?
I'm sure your husband would consider me a friend. He once read an article about a man called the Lone Ranger. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes, I do.
He mentioned a silver bullet as a mark of identity. A bullet like this.
You mean to say you're the Lone Ranger?
May I step inside and close the door?
Yes, I guess so.
Thank you. Where is your husband?
He had to leave town for for a few days.
Did Harmon's partners, the Sloan brothers, go with him?
Why are you asking these questions?
Mrs. Gregg, I think Harmon and his pals are crooks who should have been put behind bars long ago.
Then you... I know I can trust you, and I'm going to. You said Harmon and the Sloan brothers were crooks. Well, Joe found that out. He had an article written to expose them. It was set in type. Here, I've kept a copy of it in this drawer. Joe told those crooks they must make restitution, but instead they came to the office. They knocked him out and carried him away.
Mrs. Gregg, I think with your help we can find Joe and smash those crooks. But you'll have to trust me implicitly.
If I didn't trust you, I wouldn't have said so much.
Good. Now, you'll have to do exactly as I say, and believe me, Mrs. Gregg, will take a lot of courage.
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment.
All over the country, in every direction, how you swim is the question. And here's what the happy, happy people have to say. Eating, we're doing okay.
Doing okay? You bet the champs in good old New York are. Listen, now in New York, we wait for days to see a guy called Willie Mays, because Wheaties keeps him leaping high to grab those line drives on the fly. And Yogi Berra's a Wheaties lad whose batting style makes pitchers sad. No matter how they throw the ball, that Yogi belts it through the wall. And look, both Willie Mays and Yogi Berra turn to Wheaties for extra energy because there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
Keep on eating your Wheaties and you'll be doing okay.
Now, to continue, Martha Gregg felt a great surge of hope and courage after talking to the Lone Ranger. Acting on the masked man's instructions, she returned to the office of the newspaper at night and reset the type for page one. When Bear Trap Shorty arrived in the morning, Martha was running the printing press.
Thanks alive, Mrs. Gregg. What are you doing?
I'm running off the paper, Shorty, and I'm nearly through.
But tomorrow's the
day. But this is a special edition. Grab one of those papers and take a look at the front page.
From the page? Why, what? Hey, this is the article Joe wrote, the one exposing those crooks.
Yep, that's right. There. I've run off enough to start things going.
Mrs. Gregg, you're sure asking for trouble. When Mr. Harmon sees this, he'll make sure Joe is killed just as he threatened.
I'll tell you something, Shorty. Have you ever heard of the Lone Ranger?
Yeah, sure I have. What's he got to do with this?
It was his idea to stir up a hornet's nest. He figures Harmon will have to leave town in a hurry. He'll go to join his pals, the Sloan brothers, wherever they're holding Joe.
You have to move fast or the folks in town will lynch him.
Leave it to him to get away. And when he goes to the hiding place, the Lone Ranger will follow. Now you savvy?
Yeah. I'm savvy. Maybe the idea's pretty good.
Grab an armload of those papers and get going. I'll open the door for you.
Mr. Harmon, you better see this quick so he'll have a jump on the rest of the folks who go to read it and get sore.
He'll see it right away. He's coming here now.
Yeah, I'm on my way.
Good morning, Mr. Gregg.
Well, come on in, Harmon. I have something to show you.
Howdy, Mr. Harmon.
Howdy. Where's he going with the newspapers?
He's delivering them.
A day early?
Yes, Mr. Harmon, a day early. I came here during the night to set up a front page that was different from the one we had planned for tomorrow.
What?
Take a look at it.
Why, this is...
Within an hour, everyone in town will know you as a swindler. This place is going to be too hot for you, Harmon.
I'll see you later.
You'd better hurry if you hope to get out of town alive.
During the short, quick walk to the hotel, Harmon muttered to himself angrily and kept an alert watch on all sides for townsmen who might have read the article on page one. He reached the hotel without incident. He was unlocking the door to his room when Shorty stepped from around a turn in the corridor.
Mr. Harmon!
Eh? Oh, you, Shorty. I want to see you. Come in here.
I reckon you've seen what's in the paper.
Yes, I have. Now step inside.
The missus gave me orders to deliver the papers, but I ain't done so yet. I still got them all right here.
Shorty, I've been paying you for the past 2 weeks to keep an eye on Mrs. Gray.
She went to the office during the night. The whole thing was done when I got there a few minutes ago.
Well, if no one has seen the paper, we may be able to destroy the copies and smash the printing press.
No, you can't do it, Mr. Herman.
You'd have to help
it's
me.
It's not that. You're being watched.
By whom?
The Lone Ranger.
What?
When you skip out of town, that masked man will be ready to follow you. And you can't stay around town long. Because if I don't spread these papers, Mrs. Gregg herself will do it.
Well, something must be done, and done right away.
You might wait in ambush along the trail and shoot him.
No, that's too risky. Unless I killed him instantly, he'd get me. Furthermore, I don't want to be hunted for the murder of the Lone Ranger.
Then here's another idea. You know why I'm called Bear Trap.
Well, I understand. You've set your heart on trapping an old grizzly that lives in the woods north of here.
Yeah. I've made a big pitfall on a trail that an old grizzly uses.
A pitfall, eh?
Yep. I've covered the hole with branches and sticks and leaves so you'd never know where it was. Now, if you were to let the Lone Ranger follow you along that trail...
Your idea has merit, Shorty. You'll show me your pitfall and we'd be safely around it. You stay with me and I'll take care of you. Leave your papers here and get 2 horses ready. I'll join you in a few minutes.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto were watching the trail out of town and were surprised when they saw Shorty leaving Pine Flats at Harmon's side.
Tonto, that's the fellow who works in the printing office.
How you know?
I saw him leave there a little while ago. He went directly to the hotel without delivering any papers.
Oh. And what you think?
He must have sold out to Harmon.
And him double-crossed, Mrs. Gregg.
Yes. That calls for a change in our plans. I want you to stay here in case Shorty returns. See that nothing happens to Mrs. Gregg. Meanwhile, tell her that Shorty did not distribute the newspapers. And tell her he left town with Harmon.
You follow them two alone?
Yes, Tonto.
It's you against 4 men, counting Shorty.
I take them by surprise. I think I can handle the situation. I'll see you later. Come on, Silver.
The masked man had dismounted and was leading Silver through a dense tangle toward a clearing. He saw no foot or hoof prints in that clearing and wondered if he had lost the trail. He left his horse at ground hitch.
All right, wait there, Silver. I'll see if I can pick up the tracks beyond the clearing.
He took 4 steps. Then, without warning, the ground gave way beneath his feet. One of the falling branches beneath the masked man's feet fell on the bear trap, snapping the strong jaws harmlessly. The Lone Rangers landed uninjured, but quickly realized the helplessness of his position. He reached up the perpendicular sides and found the rim well beyond his grasp. He couldn't even reach the top by jumping. After several efforts, he paused, then called to his horse.
Silver. Here, Silver.
Silver advanced to the top of the pit and looked down, as if wondering what had happened and how to help his master.
Perhaps I can get word to Tonto.
The Lone Ranger took paper and pencil from one of his pockets. He wrote a note and tied it carefully inside his neckerchief. Then he chose the longest of the small branches that littered the bottom of the pit. He fastened the neckerchief to one end and lifted it to the top of the opening, where Silver could grip it in his teeth.
Take it, Silver. Take it, fella.
At first, the great horse didn't seem to understand, but the masked man was patient. Finally, Silver gripped the neckerchief.
To Tonto, Silver. Take it to Tonto. Good boy, Silver. Up to you, old fella.
It was some time later when Harmon and Shorty, after circling wide through the woods, arrived at a cabin where Joe Gregg, tightly bound, was watched by Tom and Gene Sloan.
Well, boys, I see you've taken good care of Joe.
I'm glad you finally showed up, Harmon. We were nearly out of food.
Why'd you bring Shorty?
He helped me to meet an emergency. I had to leave town in a hurry without money. The Lone Ranger came to Pine Flats and persuaded Mrs. Gregg to print the truth about it.
Good for Marcia.
She told the Lone Ranger about you boys capturing Joe Gregg. The Lone Ranger figured to make Harmon come to join you so as he could follow to the hideout. But we fooled him. I led him over a trail so as he'd drop into my pitfall. Should have heard him yell when he went down.
Even though he is trapped, we better clear out as soon as possible.
Yes, we shall.
We said we'd kill Gregg if his wife squealed.
And we'll keep our promise. Push those old papers and dead leaves into that corner.
Hey,
boys. We're just about ready for the fire.
You're going to leave me here to burn?
Yes, that's right, Joe.
You can't get away with it. My wife knows you captured me. She'll tell the law about you crooks.
By that time, Joe, we'll be far, far away from here. And I might add, with new identities. As for you, Shorty.
Yeah?
Slug him, boys.
No, no!
Hold still. I'll fix him. Where are you murdering polecats?
You come. Touch a match to the leaves and paper.
Right. And where you are.
That way. What? There, the window.
The masked man.
Shoot him.
You're slow with the gun.
My arm is broken.
You got a cover. Keep the hand up, Toto. I'll join you in just a second.
Thought you crooks flat-footed, didn't we?
Who's this?
It's the marshal. That's the way he's ornery murdering skunk.
Marshal? Doggone, where'd you come from?
I came to town this morning just to look things over. Looks like it came at a good time.
I'll hold guns on them, Toto, while you and the marshal tie their hands.
I got a hand press on one of them.
Surprised to see me, Harmon?
They thought you were trapped in a pitfall.
I was. But Silver took a message to Toto.
There you are, Joe. Now you're free.
I'll help you handle these skunks, Marshal.
All right, Joe.
With Joe to help you, you'll not need Toto and me.
That's right, Mess Man.
Oh, just one thing. Harmon has a lot of cash. Some belongs to the people in Pine Flats. The rest he and his pal stole from people in other localities. Mrs. Gregg has their names.
We'll see that it goes to the folks who lost.
Good. Come on, Toto.
No, wait. Don't go yet. I want to show my appreciation.
You do that, Joe, by maintaining a good newspaper. It can't be influenced by crooks. Perhaps someday we'll meet again. Adios.
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 Hey, where's his horse? Where's that horse called Silver?
It's hidden among the trees, Joe. You see, we came the last 50 yards on foot.
Martha, we owe everything to that horse called Silver and to the Lone Ranger.
Copyrighted feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated is produced by Kendall Campbell Muir Incorporated. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. Listen to The Lone Ranger, brought to you by special recording Mondays through Fridays at this same time.